And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast, it is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, Israel. Today is August 31st, 2015, and this is Oli Benny Davis and with the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to review all what's going on in this part of the world, I mean the Middle East, and say what is being said and hope to make a difference in so many people's hearts. We just need to work together and to discover what is humanity going to do with all this mess that the baby boomer left us. You know, they still couldn't control, and we need to make a decision what we're going to do. You know, no wonder there are so many youngsters running the world right now, you know, in a very key position because, you know, they are the pushers. And the old folks need to just, you know, leave gracefully and give the space. This is a battle time. And this battle of the economy, battle of society, this is the battle of what we are going to become. And if the old folks are still holding tight and don't leave, you know, the people be, it's not going to improve because they apparently they'll win, you know, as always. Youngsters always win, but they're going to also leave scars. So you know, roll with the punches and let's go on. Let's continue. It's Oli Benny Davis on BBS Radio, and I'm so happy to be here today because I'm telling you, last week's events were crazy, and I know that there was a new discovery of gas on the shores of Egypt, which will, you know, made all the shares of the gas in Israel go down today. Because they didn't start drilling yet, and already they found somebody. Oh, they drilled, of course, but there is a little question of are they going to sign the deal of drilling. Let's ask the question that we all want to ask. Israel is a very small country, and for Israel to have such a discovery of gas, it's something that's a game changer, right? Now, if somebody took the risk and you know, and discovered it, does it make it his? The question needs to be you know, ask openly. No, it's not. That's my opinion. You know, if you took the chance, 50% is yours, 50% is the people. When we are back, it's Oli Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. My goodness gracious, Ronald Reagan. What a pleasure of a gentleman. What a humanity, you know, adds to give when she gives her best. You know, he went, somebody was joking, and, you know, I'm not going to mention because we mentioned the scene, not the singer. Somebody was mentioned, you know, that Ronald Reagan didn't get a job as an actor, so they said, oh, why don't you run for office? It wasn't funny. It's destiny. He was, you know, he delivered. He delivered. So we don't even mention it. He was a good actor, like he was a fantastic president. Anyway, we are on the end of August today, and what happened is tomorrow in Israel, there is the start of a new year, a school year. You know, every 1st of September is a school year. And, of course, you know, the labor union is threatening to put some pressure and not to open the school for high school or whatever. And I'm saying to them, guys, stop using the kids. Stop using the kids as a tool. 1st of September is sacred day. They've been waiting for it, preparing for it emotionally, physically, and all, you know, and they collect the stuff. Let them be. Stop being so obnoxious and get, you know, your goods on the back of the children. I don't understand this, really. Anyway, there is a lot to do and a lot to talk about, and I want to take a minute to talk about something very important in regard to the campaign of Hillary Clinton. And I was thinking about calling a friend of mine to help me through this, because there is nothing like expert. But let's put some music, and we'll after that we'll decide. All right, let's talk.
Consulted with Congress throughout this process. I am confident that as Commander-in-Chief, I have the authorities to engage in the acts that we are conducting currently. As our strategy develops, we will continue to consult with Congress, and I do think that it'll be important for Congress to weigh in. But I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We don't have a strategy yet.
7 o'clock this evening, Eastern Time, Air and Naval Forces of the United States launched a series of strikes against the headquarters, terrorist facilities, and military assets that support Muammar Gaddafi's subversive activities. Colonel Gaddafi is not only an enemy of the United States. His record of subversion and aggression against the neighboring states in Africa is well documented and well known. He has ordered the murder of fellow Libyans in countless countries. He has sanctioned acts of terror in Africa, Europe, and the Middle East, as well as the Western Hemisphere. And for us to ignore, by inaction, the slaughter of American civilians and American soldiers, whether in nightclubs or airline terminals, is simply not in the American tradition. When our citizens are abused or attacked anywhere in the world on the direct orders of a hostile regime, we will respond so long as I'm in this Oval Office. Self-defense is not only our right, it is our duty. It is the purpose behind the mission undertaken tonight. A mission fully consistent with Article 51 of the United Nations Charter. I salute the skill and professionalism of the men and women of our armed forces who carried out this mission. It's an honor to be your Commander-in-Chief. Despite our repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong. I warn that there should be no place on earth where terrorists can rest and train and practice their deadly skills. I meant it. I said that we would act with others if possible and alone if necessary to ensure that terrorists have no sanctuary anywhere. Tonight, we have. Thank you. God bless you.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with BBS Radio and The Impossible Truth. And we have our surprise guest today, David Frank. And we are so happy to have you here. Hello, David.
Hello, Benny. Thank you for the wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. You know, we all, holding each other hands at this time, and we're going to cross to a safe haven on the other side like we're supposed to. You know, this world is going to be better, and I know you have a great plan. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, we don't live 240 years ago in the world that our founding fathers used to live in, or in 1948 when Israel started. We live in the 21st century, and we've got all this wonderful communication technology that we can start using to have the voices of the people heard, everyone on issues that affect their lives. And what we want to do is get a plan out that explains that the way to fix America or other countries is not from the top down, because that's what we have. We have top-down systems now that benefit the people at the top. We have the communication technology now to remap our communities and start building systems from the ground up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that the fact that you are here today is so amazing, because we are starting this movement of by the people, for the people, like you say, and it sounds to me like a brilliant idea, you know?
Well, thank you. It's just, you know, I don't have the answers. I just have the tools to find the answers. And, you know, everybody's talking about the problems, whether they be in America or other countries around the world. But we've got to start talking about the solutions. And we know that the politicians don't have the answers. They've been paid to give us wrong answers as opposed to right answers. You know, you don't bribe a judge, a juror, or a politician to make right answers. You always bribe them to make wrong answers. And that's why everything within our countries is falling apart. we live in the 21st century. We've got the Food Channel, the Travel Channel, Sports Channel. We have all these different channels, but we don't have the most important channel. The most important channel is going to be the local issues TV, radio, and internet channel. And what we're going to use those channels for is to allow you, the people, when you have ideas to make education better in your community, better environmental ideas, a better tax system, better infrastructure ideas, whatever it is, you can present your ideas right to the community over your local issues TV, radio, and internet channel. We want people to be educated on these issues, so we'll debate these ideas, videotape the debate, and replay those debates to the people in the community over our local TV, radio, and internet channel. And we'll assign an issue number to all these different ideas. Anybody that's interested in any of these issues can pick up any touchtone phone and use it as a voting device. You know, we vote on American Idol, we vote on Dancing with the Stars, we vote on Fox, CNN, we vote on all these different venues, but we aren't voting on the most important things in our lives, our education system, our healthcare system, our environment, whatever. So anybody that watches these issues over the TV, radio, or internet can vote with any touchtone phone. What we're going to do is build a database within each community that will have your ID number and PIN number. So when you see an issue that you want to vote on, you'll call a local number. It'll go into the database, ask you for your ID number and PIN number, ask you what issue number you'd like to vote on, press 1 for yes, 2 for no, count your vote, block you out from voting more than once, and every time the debate is replayed over a 10-day period, there'll be an updated tally of the yeses and the noes, and so that the people in the community are educated on the issues and the outcome will come from the people. We will implement those ideas in our community. When we find the things that work in our community, we'll share that with 999 other communities across the country. When they find things that work in their community, they'll share it with us, and we can start rebuilding America and other countries from the ground up.
Wow, that's amazing. But, you know, let me tell you, for somebody who lives in the technological center, you know, the other one, the one in California, in Israel, I see that you have a brilliant idea, and I see that it's going to be actually very functional because you are dividing it to 200 hundreds of centers. You have
We'll have 1,000 communities across across America. I apologize for interrupting you, but let me explain the rest of the plan.
Sure, great.
Yeah, the politicians have figured this out. They've been remapping America forever with what's called gerrymandering. And for those that don't know what gerrymandering is, it's remapping their community so that they can get elected or reelected.
Right.
The Postal Service figured it out. They remapped America with zip codes so that we could get the mail more efficiently. The phone company figured it out with area codes. They remapped America so that we could communicate better. And what we, the people, have to do is remap America also. The new America is going to look like a honeycomb. If you look at God's creature that's most responsible for making the world a beautiful place, it's a honeybee. And he stores the fruits of its labor in a structure called a honeycomb. And if you look very closely at a honeycomb, you'll find out that it's made up of hexagons. Your community will now be a hexagon. The nucleus will be your public broadcasting station, your local public broadcasting station. We're going to use that to actually broadcast the public and be used as our local TV, radio, and internet channel. And that'll be the nucleus of your community, and also the database that'll have your ID number and PIN number, so that when people in the community have ideas that to make their community better, they can send it out over the TV, radio, and internet, debate it, and then anybody that wants to vote on it can vote with any touchtone phone. And it's really that simple. All the tools are up and running. All we've got to do is change the format for our public broadcasting station. Our public broadcasting station is owned by we the people. It's not owned by any particular person or corporation. It's owned by we the people. It's financed by we the people. What we're going to do is change the format. Instead of antique roadshow and cartoons, What we want to do is use it to broadcast the public, because we know that federal, state, and local government is where great ideas go to die. What we're going to do is use that technology and allow great ideas to go to thrive.
All right. Let me tell you what I think. I think that the idea is good. The implementation is a little going to be a very, very meticulous, because what you're saying, that ideas that are very local going to be broadcast on the network, which is not interest to most of the people, because then so you have to divide that net to communities, and then you have to segment everything so the answer will be within, and it will take so much time to do so that, you know, I would think that your idea is fantastic in a global scale, because on the individual local thing, it's going to be very, very difficult to dissect everything. That's my side of the game here. I am from outside saying to you, listen, we have a world event that's happening. We have the world that we need to fix. America is the leader of the free world. The people need to start taking control over it. So between continents and continents, you know, if you make a centers, that makes sense too. That's my angle, of course.
Well, the way that everything starts from the ground up. Think of this as an antibiotic in a syringe. And if you want to get the cells in your body benefiting from this technology, what you do is you inject it somewhere on the body, and it goes everywhere. What we're trying to do in South Bend, Indiana, that's where I'm at, politicians have fought this forever. They hate it because they're going to lose their... You know, on the city council, they make about $1,700 a month. They're afraid that they're not going to be needed anymore. They're afraid they're going to lose their $1,700 a month. People in state capitals hate it. They're afraid they're going to lose their salary for doing a bad job for us. And obviously, the people in Washington who make about $17,000, $18,000 a month and who have all the benefits on the planet, they hate it too. But it's not for them. It's for us. It's for we the people. Because if we just keep complaining... They're not going to fix this country for us. They're totally incapable of fixing it, because think of the old system that we're still utilizing. Out of 300 million people or brain cells in America, we're only using 535. It's a brain-dead system. On a state level, out of 6 million brain cells, we're using 150. And on a local level, out of 267,000 people, which is what we have in our community, we're only using 9. And it's a brain-dead system. And the technology is here. Until we stand up with a better plan, all we're doing is complaining. But this will go across the country and around the world overnight. You know, the world is waiting for America to lead. And once we do this in one community in America... It's going to go to all the other communities overnight, and it'll go to all the other countries overnight. Because, see, in the past, what they've done when the people become revolted and then they have a revolution, what they do is they knock down the old pyramid system and build a new pyramid system. Well, it was prophesied 2,000 years ago that there would be a day where the last should be first and the first should be last. That's what this technology allows to happen. And, I mean, you know, remember when Ross Perot ran for office? Were you around for that?
Of course I was. He actually made a really big difference with his 90% winning.
Right. And he and what moved America, he was on Larry King Live, and he said, technological town hall meeting system. The problem is he didn't know how to build it. He thought you build it from the top down by running for president. You build a system like this from the ground up. If you want a ground-up system, it has to be built from the ground up. And we know how to build it, and now you know how to build it. All we've got to do is transform our existing public broadcasting station's format into a local issues TV, radio, and Internet format, and building a basic database in every community. This thing can be up and running in a few weeks. But we need the people to get behind it. That's what we need.
All right, but let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Now that you dissected, you divided, you made groups everywhere, Right. After that, the data is coming in. You've got somebody to analyze it. Everyone, every community decide on its own decision. And then what?
Yeah, well, that's where ideas need to start. You know, it's like planting a field of food. I mean, you've got to start from the ground up. These ideas have to be test marketed to make sure
all
that
right,
they're
so
good.
All right, so let me build one block on top, if I may. Not on top, you know, on the side. Let's assume. Now, okay. I'm looking from a different angle on the global issue of the economy. And the fact of the matter that the same system you actually doing can not just solve problem, can actually boost the economy, because what you're putting on display a community that's something for sale, because everybody is working for something, everybody is giving something to the world, and the way that you are creating a community, every community can create is window for the world to see, and then everybody has the access and the availability that didn't have before, and this going forward to the rest of the world. That's what I'm saying. When they knock down the World Trade Center, we need to replace it with something on the net, and your community, you know, becoming efficient, you know, solving problem. But we need to remember, we need to work. Everybody needs to boost. And the only way that you keep on the, you know, the engine going is by creating, a display of sort. And I think your idea is terrific.
It's working together. What this does is it brings everybody together. And what we've got now is a system that divides everyone, because what we have is a political system that's sucking the life out of our communities. You know, understanding why the economy is bad in our country or any other country isn't complicated. It can be described in four words. There is no cash. What they've done is they've sucked all the cash out of our communities. It's like sucking the oil out of your engine. It won't be able to work. Or sucking the blood out of your body. It won't work. What they've done is they've methodically sucked the cash out of our communities. We don't realize it because there are still some people, wealthier people, that have money. And you go, well, hey, you know, I know some people.
You got it right. We got it. And we are going to put the cash back to the community by working together. We're going to bring all the energy back to everybody else, because this crisis is over by we are taking decisions to make something, to make a difference. And you are making a difference. And I really salute you. I want to salute all your friends and our friends and new friends in Indiana that came to the show and listened, and you have a brilliant idea that I think that it's the first step on starting connecting America and bring her back and leading the rest of the world. God bless you for that.
Good. Well, thank you. You know, I love this country. I love the people, and I figure if you're good to the people, you're good to God, because we're all
absolutely
God's children. And what we're doing is we've sat back and we've allowed the politicians to steal from us and to steal from our parents and to steal from our children. And we know
we don't want to do that. We don't want to think what they did to us. We want to do what we're doing for ourselves now to keep on going. And I think you have a great idea. Keep on going. Don't look sideways. Just keep focused. You will make it. And I bless you, and I hope that you will have the success and come to Israel. We'll make a really good startup out of it.
Can I give you our website address?
Please do, actually. Yeah.
It's www.onevoicenow, onevoicenow.org/video. And if you go to that website, you'll see we've got about six different pages. One of the pages is called the Problem and Solution page, and it describes how an issue will be raised in your community, debated in your community, voted on in your community, and implemented in your community. It's very, very simple. It's the Model T, and the T stands for technology.
Let me ask you before you go, because I need to go, but there are so many things going on. How are you going to get your resources? We need to get the government to agree to that, and put, you know, like the traffic, a part of the, no, actually not on the state level. We need to get the budget from the government to do that on every, for all the 50 states.
Well, so we're getting the funds from the local government, and they have our money. They have our tax money. We have a billion-dollar budget here in our community, tax revenues. That's $1,000 million. We want to use three of those million, just three of them. And what we're going to do is we're going to use that to finance our local public broadcasting station. We're going to make everyone in our community a major stakeholder in our local public broadcasting station. And we're going to use that, transform the format so that we can start using it to get ideas out, debating them, voting on them, and fixing our country.
Fantastic. I think it's fantastic. Now you made me even happier. You actually going for it big time. Go get them. Do it.
This will work in Israel beautifully. This will work in
I bet. Here everything works in God country. You know, everything is allowed here. Listen, darling, I need to let you go because we have so much to talk about it, but it was such a pleasure having you, David Frank. God bless you and everybody, www.onevoice.now.org/video. I hope to talk to you soon and you tell me how it's going on, okay?
Thank you so much for allowing me to be on your program. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. My pleasure, sir. God bless you.
Salute
Indiana. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. And we'll be back after this. And we remember Zion. This is Bonnie M. Wood by the rivers of Babylon. You know, guys, the Jewish people came back to the land, and recently we just discovered the stairs to the temple, the Holy Temple. So, you know, if God showed us the stairs to the Holy Temple, it means we are on the right track. And please remember, it's going to be all peaceful, no wars, okay? We're going to end up here. We got a community plan now that David Frank just gave us on onevoice.now.org, which you should check and see what you think. And let's roll with that. The idea that we have a race for the president of the USA is very important now. And a lot of, you know, things are happening. And we have the Democratic, you know, not nominee yet, but contender Hillary Clinton and, of course, the others and against the GOP. I wanted to mention Hillary Clinton. You know, I'm a Republican. Everybody knows that. I ran for Senate with a Republican ticket. But however, I don't stop to appreciate a woman that worked all her life to make something out better than for America. And I follow her for years. I follow President Clinton when he was in office, and they are good people. The fact that anybody insinuates that for some reason she worked on our email, I want to call everybody attention that since she'd been on the job before even you got emailed, everybody around her need to check of what he did right or wrong. Because the fact that she was holding a telephone that might be infiltrated or any email that by no reason might be not classified, I don't see the point of anybody blaming her. You know, they have to take responsibility. You know, national security is national security. You don't leave it in the hands of everybody, even that they are beautiful and everything. Every person has to do his job. And national security, by all means, that was not her. She was a Secretary of State, and she needed to deliver. And she did her best. She was even sick in the middle, and she worked hard. Come on, guys. Get off that lady because it's not fair. Of course, on the other end, CNN, by not putting Carly Carly on the ticket for the debate, it seems like, you know, CNN decided the GOP's women are not good enough for CNN debate. Of course, I was intimidated on CNN because I couldn't hear the question. But by all means, that lady is fantastic. And we have a GOP woman, one woman, and you guys on CNN want to exclude women? What part of even equality you have? Okay, we didn't have it, so we don't have like 20 running, so you can pick and choose. No, sweetheart. We have one girl on the Republican ticket, and she deserves a space on that podium because she represents the women. By all means, she's number one for the women. Nothing else, okay? So you choose her. But if you intimidate women like this, Mr. CNN, I think that, you know, a time will come when you'll be over. Passé. You're all news. You're all time. You good old news. Good old news. That will be CNN. Because if the women decide that CNN doesn't respect their side of the game, think that it will be appalling to even suggest that we are not smart enough for you guys. Like you have more than it takes, you know, in reason and everything. And I was wondering how I think that somebody will be smart enough at CNN to the girl. They will know. They will know. It's nothing. Everything will be okay, Carly. Don't worry. God bless you. Anyway, I want to go back to some music, and then we have some sound bites so we can listen to it. All right? Let's hear some more music, guys.
You don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz.
All right, and we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. That's the radio for the people, by the people. Now, listen to this, Ritz-Carlton. Don't you remember those times when you had the tea at, you know, on the tea room in the Ritz-Carlton? All right. If there is anything great about someplace, I'm telling you, the Ritz-Carlton is one thing that, you know, you don't need to have much. You just go there, enjoy, because there is a moment in life that you need to enjoy sometimes. And they had that movie, incredible movie, Breakfast at Tiffany, and we all, you know, got attracted. You need to check. You have a exquisite chain, which does their best, really, to accommodate everybody. And I'm telling you, everybody with the most polite smile and courtesy. Of course, it's expensive, but, you know, it's hard to keep such a level of attention, you know, on a cheap level. However, I'm sure that everybody can enjoy, you know, you can do it as, you know, your date. Take a nice date out there. Now, I'm not doing advertising for free, guys, here, so let's wrap it up. Let's go to the next soundbite. It will be great, all right?
It's expected that Republican-led Congress is going to reject the agreement and, in effect, refuse to remove the sanctions. The president has said that he will veto that legislation. Second area of politics, assuming that the White House can get through this fall and keep the agreement intact, will be on the level of presidential debate. Let's start with the Republicans. Many of the leading Republican candidates have already signaled that they're going to make overturning this agreement part of their campaign platforms. They'll be supported in that by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who's made clear that he's declaring war on this agreement. He regards it as a historic mistake, and he'll have support from some key Republicans. Lindsey Graham, Tom Cotton are two obvious examples. The final interesting piece of politics here is what former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will do as she speaks about this agreement. It was her early secret initiative to reach out to Iran to explore the possibility of compromise that got the ball rolling here. So it's going to be very hard for Secretary Clinton to walk that back. Even so, she has a reputation developed over many years of being somewhat more pro-Israel, somewhat more sympathetic to Israel's security demands than President Obama has been. So I'd expect her to stake out a position that, while supportive of the agreement, maintains a tough line on Iran. The final point I think to make is not immediate politics, but legacy politics. President Obama, from the day he became president, talked about how important this idea of reaching out to and engaging Iran was to him. President Obama can claim 6+ years into his presidency that he has pursued that agenda through some extremely rocky negotiations with Iran. It's clear that Obama believed that his legacy would be built around this idea that America has to engage not simply its friends but its adversaries. There's no more dangerous adversary in the Middle East than Iran, and President Obama achieved his goal, controversial though it may be, of reaching out and shaking hands with a still revolutionary Iran.
All right. And we are back. This is Orly Benny-Davis on PBS Radio. Guys, time runs so fast. And I was talking to somebody today about energy and saying, you know, when you move a lot and you start, you know, energy, is it connected to time? Of course. Now, if your energy connected to time, it means that time shifts from one place to another. That's why in Israel, the day, you know, start and before you know it, it's gone, because the energy here is so immense and so intense that if you think that you can be quiet and relaxed in, you know, like a place like South Carolina where I used to be, it's not like here, you know, on this side of the world, it's moved so fast. And we need to bless every day, every moment that we have a chance to explore the ideas of, you know, and talk to you all. Anyway, so the idea of the Iran deal, it's done. It's not going to be a veto, I'm sure, because it's going to win it in Congress. The Congress is smart enough to make a point, but not to over, you know, lap. It's not fighting the president, just taking a stand. Because as America government, and they should do that, because we have to make sure that everybody's vigilant on what's going on there. So I have something else for you that I think that we can fit it in. There are short clips that might be a sound bite that I think that it's important for you to hear. Let's listen to what we got here.
My new book, The Crash of 2016, is out now. That's why I'm on the road here doing this road, doing the book tour. And in it, you'll find out how a small group of super wealthy citizens have co-opted our country and our government for their own personal gain. You'll find out about 80-year generational cycles of economic prosperity and severe crashes, which coincide with the citizenry's ability to forget the lessons from our own past. You'll learn how we can work to mitigate the effects of the forthcoming crash of 2016. And you'll learn the history of the Koch family and how they work with think tanks and media groups to destabilize our economy. Earlier today, I had the opportunity to appear on MSNBC's The Cycle to talk about the book.
New York Times bestseller Tom Hartman warns 2016 could make the Great Depression look like child's play. His new book is The Crash of 2016, The Plot to Destroy America and What We Can Do to Stop It. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. How do you see us getting to this breaking point where we actually have sort of a calamitous crisis?
We've been here before. We saw the exact same thing happen in the 1920s. We saw the exact same thing happen in the 1850s. We saw something very, very similar happen in the late 1760s and early 1770s. Each time it led to a massive crash, which led to a massive political and economic rebooting of our country. Yeah, and you write in the book. So the crash of 2016 is a coming economic, political, and social crisis that could be worse than any previous crisis our nation has ever faced. Like all previous great crashes, this one's going to be triggered, and in fact is being triggered, by an economic disaster caused by many of the same forces that led to the crash of 2008, which was really the beginning of this, and the crash of 1929, which also went on for years. It's going to happen because the fundamentals that keep an economy strong and stable have not been restored since they started being deconstructed during the Reagan administration, the so-called Reagan Revolution, and were totally ripped apart at the end of the Clinton administration. The crash of 2008 was an early warning sign, but our response to it has not been adequate. Why 2016? Well, it actually could happen sooner. Could be next week. But I'm proposing 2016 for the same reason that 2008 happened. The crash of 2008 really began in 2006, that summer when housing starts dropped 34% and began to really seriously unravel. It probably should have happened in 2007, but the Bush administration saw it coming, and they threw everything they had into keeping it from happening before the November 2008 elections so that Bush wouldn't take the blame for it. They were unsuccessful, but not for lack of trying. The crash happened a half year before the elections and helped determine their outcome. There's every reason to believe that the Obama administration is doing the same thing right now and will get even more aggressive about trying to hold things together with baling wire and bubblegum all the way up until November of 2016. But there's another force at work here too, cycles. Every 80 years or so, roughly four generations, the United States encounters a major crisis. The Revolutionary War, the Civil War, then about 80 years ago, the Great Depression and World War II. So this is a time when that cycle comes back around because the people who remember the mistakes and can warn us about them are pretty much all dead. So what is this economic royalist conspiracy? It's ultimately a plot to destroy the foundations of the American middle class economy that were built during the New Deal, with roots farther back than that. And this plot, this modern day plot, was hatched by new names and faces, but by the same ideology and the same kind of people who have run counter to American progress since the founding of our nation, the forces of greed, aggregate wealth, and rule by the rich. Franklin Delano Roosevelt explicitly called them economic royalists, and I think it's an entirely appropriate term. His memo paralleled the rise, this now being Lewis Powell. Lewis Powell wrote a memo that brought us to where we are now. And that memo paralleled the rise of a new anti-government theology expressed most vividly in the libertarian and objectivist movements, inspired by Chicago School economics and Atlas Shrugged author Ayn Rand. Ronald Reagan played the role of the useful idiot by dropping the top marginal tax rate below 50%, by reducing corporate taxes, by changing our trade laws, and changing the rules governing CEO compensation. Perhaps most importantly, Reagan effectively stopped enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act, transforming America's cities and shopping malls from havens for small family-owned businesses to a nationwide homogeneous array of outlets owned by a small handful of corporations. The reality is, just like in nature, broad and diverse is strong, huge and top-heavy is fragile, and that's where our economy is now. Our Supreme Court then helpfully handed the royalists a series of decisions from Buckley versus Vallejo to First National Bank.
All right, we're running out of time, but this is a good soundbite. You know, they're talking about 2016, and are we going to let it happen? And how are we going to stop it? We just have to energize the growth. We need growth. You know, it doesn't, you know, you can go back. You just have to push forward and start growing. It means that you get out of your comfort zone. Yes, everybody, we need to change the page and, you know, turn the page of this history. We're going to take it over because now we can. If we cannot solve this problem with all communication that are intact, it means that we're not capable. It doesn't mean nothing. It's not a cycle. It's not something that has to come. It's not an event. It's not the sun that's rising on the moon that's shining. This is the economy. It's up to us. We create it and we can fix it. The fact that anybody say that it will come around, oh, if we're not doing nothing, but we will. That's the difference. This time we are doing something. All right, guys, It's almost time, and I want to end this program with Exodus. Exodus of Maxima. It's to exit from that zone. On Wednesday, we're going to talk about the European, European news and what's happened this week, and you know what's going on with the immigrants factor and with the news that they might found a treasure. Yeah, you know, you were wondering why all those immigrants running to Europe now. I'll tell you, there is a story running around that there is a treasure that the Nazis left a train full of goods buried someplace, and somebody found it. So there is this buzz. I don't know if it's, it's only a buzz if it's true or not, but as I get the news, usually they are truth. So this is something to verify or something that's probably been hidden because nobody wants you to discover it. But darling, guys, if they have a treasure there, well, it's going to be fun for quite some time now in Europe. So we're going to talk about it on Wednesday, and we are going to have, the Italian music as we have in every incredible Wednesday, and we just going to make things happen. Just stop being what we, let's change. Whatever we do it better, okay? So I want to salute you. I want you to listen to the music that I love so much, and I bless you all, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday. It will be at 9 a.m. Western, and it will be on 7 p.m. Jerusalem time. God bless you all. I love you. Bye-bye.